Blog Talk Radio.
I think we're on, folks. I hope you can hear us. We've got a difficulty with the sound here tonight. So we've got difficulty with our computers. We'll be right with you.
Did you put the music on?
I did. And I just played, but we don't have the... Our volume is out, so...
you can't tell on that.
Yeah. Well, this one you can. Hang on, everybody. We're just trying to...
We want to make sure we're on. We can't tell because that one laptop has no audio. And the other, and the large computer we can't use. So we're using
the iPad. We're kind
of
running blind again, which really sucks. Oh, God, help us.
We just can't tell whether we're on or not. We could be.
Oh, we could be.
That's why we're talking.
But bear with us, everybody. Hope you can.
There are all kinds of things going on in the news. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
What's
if I can get on this thing,
we have Obama in Africa.
Okay.
Pretending to be something he's not.
Okay. We're supposed to be on here.
I can't imagine why the African people would. Receive him with open arms. All we've wanted to do is exploit that continent, steal the natural resources, and enslave the people.
Yeah. Good Lord, man.
You don't even have much pretense.
Unbelievable.
What are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to get it to go on. It's not. It's not moving for some reason. It's very fast. Anyway, God, you know, I hate being crippled like this. It's unbelievable. I'm gonna turn this thing on because without it we can paralyze. Hey, it's hard to believe you gotta run this show with three computers, but that's the way it's been happening lately. And but we get so much information for you.
I don't know, this doesn't look like
it. Doesn't seem like it wants to go in.
No.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Okay, just go again. I just knock out of there and go to something. Well, we are on, so let's just pretend that we have volume. I don't even care about this. Let's get out of here. Okay, let's go to.
Do you want to do David
Icon? No, actually, I wanted to go to. To the Facebook, I got so much on there that it just came up.
Leo's going to try to go to his Facebook page. He's posted a lot of stuff on that.
I post a lot of stuff on there because it's, I can't figure out your damn thing. So, anyway, we're working on this, folks, and bear with us. I'm going to put a little music on until we can get everything straightened out here. Sorry for the mess. everything.
Here's your face.
Screwy. Everything is screwy tonight. Everything. All right. Okay. What I wanted to talk about tonight was the. I posted a number of articles up here. Public approval of Supreme Court falls to all-time low.
Well, you can understand why.
I also
destroyed the voting.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's been following the Zimmerman.
People have been following that.
But it's really something really, really fascinating came up about this. Well, it turns out that Zimmerman's prosecutor Angela Corey has been indicted for allegedly falsifying the arrest warrant for him. All right.
Really?
By a grand jury. Yeah. So this whole trial could wind up being dismissed. Okay.
Why don't I read that article while you
and
try
also,
to...
And also, there's another one I wanted to read tonight. It's the Bush administration is officially found guilty of war crimes, and Obama is going down to... That's why they're together in
Africa.
In
Africa,
India,
Maybe they go to stay here.
Commiserating. But the public approval of the Supreme Court has gone to hell, too.
And as it should.
Yeah.
The American public's not stupid. I mean, the officials behave like we are. They give us no respect at all. They just stomp all over us.
Yeah, and...
Why don't you see what you can do with this computer
why don't you,
while...
You go through these articles, okay? It's also an interesting one, but this one, these three, okay? There are more. And I'll see if I can grab... If I can get on this thing. Popping out.
Now, if I want to go to the whole thing, what do I do?
Sit there.
Okay. Public approval.
Wait till it goes to here.
Okay. This is the public approval of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And this is from Freedom Watch. The public approval of the Supreme Court falls to an all-time low. The U.S. Supreme Court finished its term with big decisions on voting rights, affirmative action, and same-sex marriage. Following those rulings, public approval of the court has fallen to the lowest level ever recorded in more than 9 years of polling. Just 28% believe the Supreme Court is doing a good or an excellent job. At the same time, 30% rate its performance as poor. That's the highest ever poor rating. It's also the first time ever that the poor ratings have topped the positive assessment. These numbers are even weaker than the numbers recorded following the Supreme Court ruling upholding the president's health care law last year. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
Really something. Okay.
Yeah, wait till you see that. Yeah, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, just go to the next one.
Okay.
Okay, this one is a very fascinating one.
I'm sure.
If anybody's been following the Zimmerman report, that's amazing.
I'm sure a lot of people have been following the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman case, but this is something that's really shocking, I think. And this is from Opposing Views. The Zimmerman prosecutor, Angela Corey, indicted for allegedly falsifying his arrest warrant. The George Zimmerman defense has recently gotten a lucky break. Angela Corey, Florida's state attorney and the prosecutor against Zimmerman, has been indicted by a citizen's grand jury for allegedly falsifying an arrest warrant and the complaint that led to Zimmerman being charged with second-degree murder of Trayvon Martin. The indictment accuses Corey of allegedly withholding photographs of Zimmerman's head after the incident. Also, Corey allegedly falsely signed an arrest warrant under oath without including the pictures as evidence. Critics claim that Corey rushed the arrest warrant through because activists were rallying around the Trayvon Martin shooting, demanding that Zimmerman be charged with murder. Critics argue that Corey was attempting to secure a re-election with the support of the activists. Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz stated that Corey's actions were unethical and illegal. The outcome of this indictment could fundamentally affect the outcome of the George Zimmerman trial. At the very least, the indictment makes the prosecution look weak and overly ambitious. At worst, the state could lose its prosecutor. Also, it could lead to the court throwing out Zimmerman's case completely. Criminal charges that were filed under a falsified illegal arrest warrant who have a hard time standing up in court. As if this was not already bad enough for the prosecution, the early stages of the trial have been favorable for the defense. Witnesses have vindicated Zimmerman's version of the story. In fact, the state even had to attempt to discredit one of its own witnesses after the individual gave unexpected testimony in favor of Zimmerman. The Zimmerman case has been highly politicized ever since the beginning. This indictment demonstrates just how easily politics can weasel into the courtroom to encourage government employees to make unethical decisions. Based on the surprising change of events, there is a fairly good chance that Zimmerman will soon be able to walk out of the courtroom as a free man.
That's something.
That is something.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
It's kind of shocking.
Yeah, well, I thought it was quite amazing that but you know, that's even the prosecutor said he didn't want to prosecute.
Yeah.
Not the prosecutor, the detective thought he had a good case of self-defense. Yeah. Here's something interesting, folks, that 1 acre of hemp grown in a single season yields as much paper as 1 acre of hemp yields as much paper as up to 4 acres of trees. Can you imagine it? It's that. Oh.
The phone.
No, the phone's fine.
Oh, okay.
No, we're on the air. It's just that this guy, my main computer is shot. Okay. This one is very fascinating too. Bush administration officially found guilty of war crimes, okay, and, officially found guilty of war crimes. Lawyers say he will get Bush, okay?
Who's the lawyer?
I'm not sure. I'll tell you what. I read it, but I just, the White House is getting nervous about its own crimes as the world's top war crimes prosecuting lawyer declares he will get Bush and Obama for torture and secret wars we don't even know about. This is like Cassius Methel in Cell Health. In the first trial of its kind ever, George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, William Ames, Jay Bybee, and John Yoo were convicted in Malaysia for torture and inhumane, degrading treatment of people. This is no small or meaningless trial. This is a very serious and historical guilty verdict, which a 21st century Nuremberg trial and only the first of many trials to come. The names of all these guilty, high-ranking officials are even going to be entered into the Commission's Register of War Criminals for public record.
Huh.
This trial was the work of Malaysia ex-Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad. The trial went over and received testimony from people like ex-Guantanamo detainees and Iraqi women who were tortured in the Abu Ghraib prison and many other victims of the criminal Bush administration. The prosecutor said, it's just the beginning. The Obama administration prosecution is coming too. War crimes expert and lawyer Francis Boyle of the University of Illinois was part of the prosecution team. Francis Boyle says he hopes similar trials will be carried out around the world, and that they likely will. The citizens of the world can and will prosecute these war criminals before they do worse. As for past attempts at getting George Bush, Boyle says, I've tried to get Bush indicted 3 times in Canada and Canadian lawyers, with Canadian lawyers, and then in Switzerland, where we scared Bush out of making a speech because he feared prosecution. Clearly, these criminals are scared, and they are more than likely using intelligence agencies of the U.S. to ensure their own safety from the prosecution they deserve. The court also heard testimony from people such as Abbas Abaya, a 48-year-old engineer from Fallujah, Iraq, who had his fingernails removed from fires, and Ali Shalal, who was connected to bare electrical wires and electrocuted while being hung from a wall, and Jamil, who was stripped nude, humiliated, and used as a human shield while on a helicopter. Also, so as this goes to show, U.S. forces are using people as human shields too, possibly more than the famously alleged suicide bombers using women and children as human shields. But this wasn't just a few fringe people in Iraq. This treatment was directly ordered by every member of the Bush administration indicted, emails and other evidences are presented showing that the leaders coordinated with their military personnel techniques of torture and that they ordered the inhumane treatment themselves. Therefore, they are responsible. And people compare this to the Nuremberg trials of Nazi Germany, and rightfully so. Dick Cheney says in his own biography that he fears being prosecuted as a war criminal and that he will face more than likely. Justice is coming, and the world will no longer stand for these crimes against humanity. This is just the beginning, and the Bush administration will be prosecuted, and the Obama administration is next, as these top war crimes prosecutors insist. So there you go, folks.
Terrible things.
Here's something really interesting. I just noticed it. I'll see if I can get it. George Bush almost slips up and says the Boston and 9/11 were both conspiracies. Huh. Bush stops himself in mid-sentence to keep from admitting that 9/11 and Boston bombings were both conspiracies. That's funny.
You can play that.
Yeah. It says in a new interview, George W. Bush was asked his opinion on the recent Boston bombing. And his response, he referenced 9/11 and obviously says that both plots were conspiracies. He stopped himself just short of finishing the word.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. When described 9/11, George Bush almost accidentally called the plot conspiracy. Quick look, which gets him a quick look from his wife.
Mr. President, I do want to get right to the news of this week.
Sure.
The terrorism in Boston.
Yeah.
Many people have wondered if it took you right back to 9/11 when you heard it.
Well, at first, I was deeply concerned that there might have been a organized plot. I don't know all the facts. I don't think we all know all the facts, but I was deeply concerned that this could have been, another organized, highly organized attack on the country. And it still may be. I don't know the facts, but I do know that it's really hard to protect the homeland.
I didn't hear that.
Let's play that again.
I don't care. The guy's such a funny bastard. He's just a complete crook. Can't stand the guy. So anyway, that's kind of like an interesting thing I just thought you might want to know about. Let's see, where was I had something else that I wanted to. I read this last week about Monsanto and Blackwater. Did I read that?
I don't think so.
No? I guess it came up on Saturday. Monsanto actually hired Blackwater, a mercenary group, to protect them.
I thought Monsanto bought Blackwater.
So it was temporarily unavailable, whatever the hell that means. I guess they knocked it out. Sorry? Yeah, Monsanto bought Blackwater. I didn't read this. I could have sworn I read this last week. You see about the Nation calling for the impeachment of Obama.
You mentioned it. I don't know whether you read it on the show or not.
I have a problem with this stuff with it. I really hate this timeline stuff. hang on, folks. Let's see. I post so much stuff, and I wound up posting it up on on my Facebook account, because that way I can keep track of it through the... I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I should have mentioned it, but I can't remember. June 28th, that was, they couldn't have, because we didn't have a show at that moment. This is what black lawyers in South Africa calling for the arrest of Barack Obama.
Good for them.
Arrest Barack Obama, says Muslim Lawyers Association in South Africa. The Muslim Lawyers Association in South Africa has called for the arrest of U.S. President Barack Obama on war crime and genocide charges when he visits the country from Friday. He's already visited the country and no one's arrested him, so there must be something.
There were a lot of activists in South Africa that protested Obama. They didn't give any coverage to them. They were protesting renditions, the
drone.
Really,
they were, really?
You know, it was it in Cape Town that he visited? I don't know.
Well, whatever it was.
There was a group that blacks that protested him. He didn't get the resounding reception in South Africa that he got in other countries in Africa. The population is probably better educated in South Africa.
Believe it, the order of the deaths and the association has called for the Association of Lawyers has called for Obama's arrest because they believe he has ordered the deaths of numerous suspects overseas, citing this as reason. It is one of 15 civil society organizations that have banded together as the No Obama Coalition to object to his first visit to the country as president. The organization includes various trade unions and student associations as well ruling African National Congress, tripartite alliance partners in South Africa Communist Party, and the Congress of South Africa's trade union. Touch anything and this thing goes nuts.
Do you have another article?
No, I just touched something by mistake. I'm working on an iPad here, which is driving me kind of crazy.
Well, then let me do it.
I will give you this in 1 second. South African government is undeterred by the planned protest, saying that it might even be good for the country because allowing the protest would show the level of freedom of expression in South Africa. The protest might have the positive effect of a tangible demonstration of the healthy democracy we enjoy, called Moyela, spokesman of the Ministry of International Relations and Cooperation told the media. I can't pronounce this guy's name, national coordinator of the No Obama Coalition, said USA under Obama's leadership has escalated its assault on human rights, militarization of international relations, and continuing guzzling of world's resources at the expense of the environment and oppressed people of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Other reasons cited by the coalition include allegations of active support in defense of colonial and oppressive regimes by the U.S. and its alleged role in maintaining the underdevelopment of the African continent. A National Day of Action against Obama visit will see a march on June 28th when he is due to arrive. Demonstration against the University of Johannesburg awarding an honorary doctorate to Obama will take place on Saturday. Okay,
all these things have already happened.
Did they actually give him one?
Well, I guess that already happened because they were talking about June 28th when he arrived.
No, I know, but I don't know if they canceled that. They could have canceled that stuff because I never saw anything about it on the news.
They didn't really give a lot of coverage to his trip.
No, because I think there was so much controversy, you know.
And the American public wasn't too thrilled about spending millions of dollars to send him and his family and his relatives and his entourage.
Nobody trusts this guy. I mean,
to Africa.
Yeah, nobody trusts this guy. You know,
I mean,
no
that was a that's a payoff for being a puppet to the elite.
Yep. So anyway.
You get to have a 2-week trip to Africa.
Yeah, 2-week trip to Africa.
Which they don't pay for. The poor people of America pay for.
Yeah, I mean a hundred, it's unbelievable. $100 million to send that guy over. Unbelievable. This is another one that I wanted to play because they tried to assassinate and they infiltrated the Occupy Wall Street. I don't think I played this last time.
No.
But I wanted to. And,
well, we begin this hour with new information coming out of Occupy Wall Street. According to recent reports that have been released by the FBI after a Freedom of Information Act was requested by TrueCrime reporter Jason Leopold and the Partnership for Civil Justice, local law enforcement officials have teamed up with the FBI and Homeland Security in order to deal with the Occupy movement. What's more, the FBI actually invoked the term domestic terrorism when referring to nonviolent protesters in the Occupy movement, essentially confirming the movement organizers when they're saying that the political policing was happening across the country. Joining me now to break down this information coming out of this FOIA request is independent journalist and activist Annalikas Miller. Hi there, Anna. So first things first, we already knew that the Occupy movement was being closely monitored by the government, but what information is coming out about the surveillance of the movement that we're learning now from this FOIA request?
Well, we're learning basically that Jason Leopold did make this request during the movement at the end of 2011. It was not granted, and now it's coming out that there is essentially lied about that the surveillance was happening the whole time, meaning that there were informants planted at the Occupy camps, both in New York and around the country, and that the FBI at the Department of Homeland Security were basically in partnership with corporate America, which is really, really frightening.
And what are the terms that the FBI invoked was this domestic terrorist term? Mm-hmm. So I have a few questions based on that. First of all, what is considered to fall under the realm of a domestic terrorist or domestic terrorism? And second, does this apply to the Occupy movement? Does it merit that title?
I think that they're using a very broad definition of violence to discuss domestic terrorism, because obviously an act of terrorism is, you know, doing something that's going to kill a lot of people, blowing something up, something that's far more terrible and life-threatening than just a couple of people assembled in civil protest. So I think that they really, you know, just ran with the possibility that it could get violent and used that to manufacture this threat of domestic terrorism, because that's really what the FBI has done in a lot of these terrorism cases. You saw it with Muslim and Arab communities, with the FBI spying on them. A lot of it was really them feeding this information to people who were alleged terrorists but had never done anything. And that's happening with Occupy right now and has been happening. It just only got brought to our attention.
Now, Anna, looking at these documents, I noticed that they were heavily redacted, meaning that large chunks of them were taken out. What kinds of information do you think lies below those black lines that are crossed off for anyone else to be able to read other than the people that are familiar with the case?
I think that's where a lot of the names are. That's where a lot of the names of people who would be targeted lie, because there have been talks of assassination attempt plots and things like that. So I think if those names were released of organizers, of people that were being intensely surveilled and targeted, then there would be so much more uproar in the press than we're seeing right now.
And I wanted to know from you, from your studies of these documents, they are relatively new, and a lot of people have yet to sort through them, but is there any indication of how far this surveillance actually expanded?
That's, you know, someone mentioned this is really just the tip of the iceberg, and all we really know at this point was that they were there, and that, you know, some of the people we chatted up, some of the people we were making friends with could have been informants. And, you know, at this point in the news cycle, it's really the tip of the iceberg. We don't know a lot,
and
which is scary.
And Anna, one of the interesting parts of this is that it wasn't that just the FBI that was working with local law enforcement agencies. It was also the Department of Homeland Security and also corporate America, meaning that there was private security firms that they had talked to about this. And actually reading the article that just came out recently, it says that they discussed the OWS protests on the West Coast ports in order to, quote, raise awareness concerning this type of criminal activity. Do you consider the OWS movement criminal activity, or maybe specifically what happened in Los Angeles versus what happened across the country?
Not at all. It's the First Amendment. It's freedom of speech. It's the right to assembly. It's the opposite of criminal activity. And what's so ironic with all this, you know, FBI, Homeland Security, et cetera, is that they're evoking this language of violence, of terrorism. And the violence side was really the police crackdown and the use of batons and tear gas and beating, and in some cases, really severely injuring people. So, you know, it's really unnecessary.
So, Anna, then the question comes down to, if they are not, like I just said, if they are not promoting or invoking criminal activity, then what exactly is criminal about what they're doing? Or is it solely the point that they have a political opinion that is dissenting from what Homeland Security and others believe in?
I think it's solely the point that they have a dissenting political opinion, you know, and the fact that this level of organization and this level of mobilization and getting issues like class inequality into the press is threatening to these people and these large corporations, these business owners, and much larger forces than that. So that's where this crackdown comes in.
And Anna, a really interesting other part to note is that according to these FOIA documents, they show that the FBI was also working with the New York Stock Exchange even before the Occupy Wall Street protests blossomed in earnest. So now, obviously, Wall Street is a key player in this story. Do you think this says anything, or could it be argued that this says anything about whose interests the police, the government, et cetera, were serving in this instance?
Oh, very much so. I think that, you know, Occupy Wall Street always used to say, let's be, you know, not be run by corporations. And it just became so clear that while, you know, the FBI and Homeland Security are supposed to work with the government to protect American citizens from actual terrorism threats, they're actually working with corporations and the stock exchange and the financial sector to protect them. So it's pretty obvious who gets protected in this society, who they're working for, and that we are, in a way, run by these forces. And in a way, it really reinforces all of the points that Occupy was making.
It's very interesting to see the information coming out of this FOIA request. One thing also that we're learning is about this campus liaison program, meaning that they also contracted campus law enforcement officials to talk with them and to try to get them involved in working out this Occupy movement and many argue in stifling it. I appreciate you coming on and shedding a little bit of light on this FOIA request. I think a lot more is going to be coming out in the near future. Anna Lekas Miller, independent journalist and activist, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Good job on her part.
Yeah, and that's what we're facing, guys. This was actually published on December 24th, 2012. That was over 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
7 months ago now. And, you know, this incredible interview only got 8,370 views. Imagine that.
Really?
6 months. I mean, that's the sad part. I mean, that's sadness of...
Good for her for doing that.
Yeah, you know, and it's just... I posted this on my site, and I posted this on YouTube, and Facebook, thank you. How do you get out of here? And, anyway, let's figure out how to... Should have said something. Yeah. don't know if anybody owns an iPad, but I'll tell you.
You'd have to shut it.
No waste of.
Where do you want to go?
Well, I got to go back to website here. It's crazy.
Particularly for African Americans.
Some are even asking whether the law should be ignored and Zimmerman convicted simply to avoid race riots. You kidding. All right. But regardless of whether or not Zimmerman acted in self-defense, a large segment of the population, particularly the black population, are demanding Zimmerman be punished. And if they don't have their demands satisfied, it's possible they might riot, writes a poster at the Aesop's Retreat Forum. So would it be appropriate to consider potential riots when deciding on whether or not to prosecute Zimmerman? Or should justice be blind and follow the rule of law? Well, critics of the attempt to convict Zimmerman have cited numerous points of evidence which clearly suggest Zimmerman acted in self-defense and that the case against him was built largely on the back of contrived racial politics. Photos taken after the incident show Zimmerman with bloody nose and lacerations to the head, suggesting he had been physically attacked by Martin. NBC News edited a 9/11 tape of Zimmerman Zimmerman's call to the police to falsely depict him as a racist. All right? NBC News, with a little bunch of lovely people.
Yeah.
And prominent black figures like Spike Lee and Jesse Jackson immediately portrayed the incident as an assault on the black community, stirring racial tension. And President Barack Obama got involved in the case on the side of Trayvon Martin by stating, "If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon." Yeah, right. He'd probably be a thug. All right. And let's see. A responder at the scene said Martin's knuckles were bloody, suggesting he had injured Zimmerman with a punch. The lead investigator on the scene, Officer Christopher Serino, wrote that Zimmerman could be heard yelling for help as he was being battered by Trayvon Martin. If some form of social disorder, be it limited or widespread, does ensue, should Zimmerman walk free, authorities will be well prepared. The Department of Homeland Security recently put out another order for hundreds of items of riot gear in order to prepare for riot control situations. The federal agency also committed to buying around 2 billion rounds of ammunition over the course of the last year. And this is written by Paul Watson. Amazing, huh? What do you think, Len? Well, you know.
I think justice should be blind. And the consequences of that have to be dealt with.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, I mean, there is no question in my mind.
I mean, O.J. Simpson was let go.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that he killed two people.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You know? That's absolutely, positively right.
And white people didn't riot. They weren't happy about it. They felt that it was wrong.
Yeah.
But they didn't riot, and I don't think that black people would riot except that they've been told to.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they've been programmed to.
Most black people are not gonna. It's not like the '60s where it was so.
No.
Today, you know, black people. I mean, the guy's a president of the United States. He's gonna say, "Oh, go out there and kill everybody and riot and kill all white guys." I kind of doubt it. All right.
But some people
but,
might be
but the guy
that.
Was no the guy was no genius when he said Trayvon could have been my son, you know.
Right. What
the hell was he trying to pull there? All right. So it's like, you know, I mean for the president to chime in, that's why I hate Obama. I hate the guy with every passion.
He puts his oar in where it shouldn't be.
I think next to Bush, I hated Bush with all my might. But Obama is the biggest traitor son of a bitch that ever walked the face of the earth. He's worse than Bush. Worse than Bush. I never thought anybody could be worse than Bush. Right. This is interesting. This is a little quote that was done on the investigation when the Senate was trying to push through their gun bill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Chuck Schumer,
mm-hmm.
Was asking this guy, and he says, "Mr. Smith, please explain to the committee why you need a magazine that holds 30 rounds." All right?
Yeah.
And Mr. Smith is an older guy, says, "Who do you think you are? My rights come from God, not you. In fact, you work for me. So why don't you tell me why the DHS thinks they need a billion rounds of ammo?"
Good for him.
Yeah. You know.
And what's the answer to that?
They didn't say what the answer was, but they just, you know. That was a quote that the guy said. I thought that was interesting.
I think he's right.
Oh, he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Who the hell do you think you are? And he's right. This is probably one of, this was obscene, really, what happened. This is a drug recall that should frighten us all about the FDA. This is something that the FDA...
On Wellbutrin?
That was on Wellbutrin. Did we read that?
No, but I know it was recalled.
Yeah.
After years on the market.
After years on the market, right. And people were just, you know...
Oh, it's terrible.
Ruined. You know, ruined. You know, it's unbelievable.
Horrible side effects from that drug.
Yeah.
Enormous weight gain and all kinds of stuff. To,
yeah,
that should make people depressed
and
suicidal.
And she became suicidal.
Yeah.
Albert, you want to read this?
Sure.
Yeah. It's three pages.
I read a little bit of it.
Okay. But this is kind of like a drug recall that should frighten us all.
About the FDA. Pay attention, as I can't say this seriously enough. This is from Forbes. Last week, the FDA took a drug off the market, and the reason should send shivers of fear down the backs of consumers, investors, generic drug companies, and the FDA. The FDA announced last week that the 300-milligram generic version of Wellbutrin XL, manufactured by Impact Laboratories and marketed by Teva Pharmaceuticals, was being recalled because it didn't work. And that wasn't just a problem with one batch. This is a problem that's been going on with this particular drug for 4 or 5 years. And the FDA did everything it could to ignore it. The FDA apparently approved this drug and others like it without testing it. The FDA just assumed if one dosage strength the drug company submitted for approval works, then the other higher dosages work fine also. With this generic, American consumers became the FDA's guinea pigs to see if the FDA's assumption was right. It wasn't. In December of 2006, the first generic versions of the popular antidepressant Wellbutrin XL were approved by the FDA. The drug comes in two dosage strengths, 150 milligrams and 300 milligrams. The 300 milligram dose is generally used for patients with more severe depression and anxiety and patients who don't respond to the lower dose. The FDA approved generic versions of both dosage strengths from a few generic drug companies. Excuse me. Teva Pharmaceuticals, Anchin, Activist, Watson Pharmaceuticals, and Mylan Pharmaceuticals. Almost immediately, the FDA started receiving reports from patients that claimed the 300 milligram dose was being associated with side effects and reduced efficacy. The People's Pharmacy, a well-known syndicated radio and newspaper columnist husband and wife team, notified the FDA that hundreds of patients had lodged their own complaints of side effects with the then recently approved generic version of Wellbutrin XL. The FDA brushed off the People's Pharmacy and others that raised the issue, stating that they had faith that the drugs were equivalent and perhaps the patients who had a Mendel disease were more prone to perceived problems with a change in the medication than others. This was seen by many as essentially telling patients it's all in their heads. After several more years in public outcry, the FDA was forced to take action. What action did the FDA take? Instead of doing its own study on the drug, the FDA asked the drug maker to conduct a study to determine whether the generic drug was equivalent to their brand. The FDA, in their recent press release, claims that Teva started the trial but later abandoned it because of slow patient enrollment. It was already 2010, several years after knowing there was a problem. The FDA was forced to do its own study. The FDA study was completed in August of 2012, more than 5 years after the initial problems were reported. The FDA study showed that the 300 milligram dose from Teva is ineffective in so much as it did not deliver enough of the drug. Oddly, despite the result being available in August 2012, the public was only made aware of this in October of 2012. So, you know, it goes on.
You know, this just tells you that the FDA doesn't do its job.
No.
It just, let's see what the summary says. Oh, they have eight. This article has eight immediate steps that should be taken. Here are eight steps that should be taken immediately to address this crisis and the underlying issues that caused it. If you're interested in those steps, you should go to Forbes magazine and type in a drug recall. It should frighten us all about the FDA. I mean, I think it's more than eight steps. It's a whole culture of incompetence.
Oh, God, yeah.
And corporatism.
Well, they're saying they should immediately suspend approvals for generic Wellbutrin.
Yeah.
And advise doctors not to prescribe it. And use their own study. It's just, you know, just telling the FDA what to do.
Yeah, good luck with that.
The Supreme Court just gutted the Voting Rights Act, 1965, and six states already moved in to restrict voting rights 48 hours after the Supreme Court gutted the protections.
Oh, what states were that? Did they?
They listed.
Are they all southern states?
Oh, yeah. But the thing that's amazing, folks, is that, you know, this thing is really amazing.
It's sort of like, action was like this. It's wintertime and it's freezing cold, and your inside temperature, because you've turned your furnace up, is 70 degrees. Well, you're warm now, so turn the furnace off.
Well, you don't need your furnace.
Yeah,
We'll take the furnace out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're warm now, so you don't need a furnace, which is what this was. This was what they did is they cut out. They said there's no longer any discrimination or voting problems in the country, so we don't need that
protection anymore. Yeah.
So it says less than 48 hours after the Supreme Court struck down Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, six of the nine states that had been covered in their entirety under the law's free clearance formula have already taken steps toward restricting voting. In a 5-4 decision, the court's five conservative justices ruled Tuesday that the formula, which required states with a history of racial discrimination to pre-clear changes to their voting laws with the Department of Justice or a federal judge before enforcing them, was unconstitutional. Since then, six states have already started moving on restrictions, many of which have adverse effects on the ability of minorities, young people, and the poor to exercise their right to vote. Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, South Carolina, Virginia. All right. Texas, the Lone Star State, saw its strict voter ID law and redistricting plan blocked by the Department of Justice and federal courts last year. Just 2 hours after Tuesday's decision came down, the state's attorney general issued a statement suggesting both laws may go into effect immediately. On Wednesday, Governor Rick Perry, signed slightly modified congressional maps into law, apparently deciding not to veto them and reinstate the more blatantly discriminatory maps blocked by the court. These new law maps will not be screened by the DOJ. And Thursday morning, the U.S. Supreme Court vacated two federal court decisions that had relied upon the VRA in blocking the voter ID law and redistricting plan. I mean, what are they doing?
They're dismantling.
What the hell are they doing?
They're attacking people's civil rights. You have the chief justice of that court.
Is a crook. Is a bum. Is a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
You know? These bastards.
And they all follow lockstep.
Yeah, these bastards should be impeached and in prison.
I was so angry this morning at the interview with that woman, Justice.
Which one?
Who was supposed to be so liberal, and she goes hunting.
Which one? Sotomayor Kagan?
I don't know which one it was.
One of the morons there.
Yeah.
One of the Obama bimbos.
She's a liberal justice, and she goes hunting with... Scalia.
Scalia.
And they're such good friends and all this kind of...
How can
you be good friends with someone who...
This is the guy that's best friends with Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
All right? You know, I mean, what a pig. No, just pigs,
They're all the same under those ropes. They're all traitors.
They're just traitors. Mississippi. State legislator approved a voter ID scheme in 212, but it had not received Department of Justice clearance. Despite the restriction, Mississippi Secretary of State said Tuesday they would proceed with implementing the voter ID law, and that we're not the same old Mississippi that our fathers' fathers were. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You just want to be, that's all.
Yeah, the same. Alabama, my God. The state passed a law requiring photo ID to vote, but never cleared it with the Department of Justice. Both the Attorney General and Secretary of State said Tuesday they believe their plans could now be implemented in time for the 2014 election. Arkansas. In April, the Arkansas legislator overrode Democratic Governor Mike Beebe's veto to pass their own ID legislation. With pre-clearance out of the way, the state law can now be implemented without DOJ. South Carolina, Attorney General issued a statement declaring the following decision, lauding the court for allowing the pre-clearance states to implement reasonable election reforms, such as voter ID laws similar to South Carolina's. And Virginia, unlike several of the other states, Virginia's voter ID was not scheduled to be implemented until July 2014 anyway, but unless Congress replaces the preclearance formula before then, Virginia will also likely be able to move forward with its plan. These moves mean that of the 9 preclearance states, only Alaska and Arizona, which had its own voter ID law struck down, and Georgia, whose own voter ID law was likely ruled unconstitutional in the same decision, have not moved to restrict the voter rights. See, I've got my issues with this, and I'll tell you why. Here they went right along. But these states are inundated with illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're inundated with them.
No, inundated.
Isn't that what you said?
No.
Inundated?
Inundated.
Same thing. Inundated.
No.
Inundated.
Inundated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, whatever they are, they're loaded with them, okay? They got too many of them, and they're all fraudulent voters, okay? So, I can understand in some way what they're doing there, all right? Because I think if we had that kind of problem here, there'd be some kind of voter action as well. Don't you think?
I don't know.
Well, whatever. All right. But I mean, no, in our state we got one of these sanctuary states. Connecticut is a nightmare state, quite frankly. We got an idiot down in New Haven that gave everybody driver's licenses and IDs. He's no longer running for president for mayor, thank God. But he was a lackey as if ever there was one. And god awful, we got a god awful governor now. Okay, so it's just, I don't know. Folks,
well, he has higher aspirations.
Yeah, he's a globalist from global hell. But, hey, that's where we're at, right? That's where we're at. Here's something that's interesting, folks. The best way to take control over a people and control them utterly is to take a little of their freedoms at a time, to erode rights by 1,000 tiny and almost imperceptible reductions. In this way, the people will not see those rights and freedoms being removed until past the point at which these changes cannot be reversed. Guess who said that?
Hitler.
Adolf Hitler said that. Yes. And that's exactly what he did.
Well, that's the model that's been adopted in this country.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too. Not that I...
It's called gradualism.
Yeah. not that I totally agree with this either, but back in 1934, did I talk about this last week? Maybe not. I don't know.
You did talk about that quote last week.
Did I, though? So I probably won't
pass. It's a good quote, though.
Probably won't pass these things. Yeah. Did I talk about prepackaged foods?
As being a problem for with no benefits?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're banned in other countries?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we pretty much covered that, the ground on that. Okay. So let's go to another spot here that I...
We just have a few minutes left anyway.
Okay. Let's see what we can come up with here. I think, it's kind of interesting that what's been happening lately, and I know that these distractions have been, you know, because the news, if anybody follows, I try to follow mainstream as well, but, you know, it's really amazing because just to see what kind of lies and what kind of bullshit they're pulling. And I think the most interesting thing is how all of these Zimmerman stories and everything. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I just posted. I just read one on that. But we tried to show. There's no mention about war crimes. There's no mention about anything.
On the mainstream media.
Yeah, on the mainstream media or anything that anything anybody's talking about that.
In the mainstream media, what they do is they tell you a few things, and then they concentrate on some Hollywood thing, somebody
or
having a baby,
or chimpanzees, or some crazy thing.
A dog trick.
Yeah. Most people know about the Egyptian thing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I got a long article on that.
You've got to be very careful if you don't produce for the United States when they prop your regime up.
Well, that's the problem. No, they're not. They're not producing for anybody, you know. And that's what the problem was. This was interesting. This one here, Beyond Snowden, U.S. General Cartwright has been indicted for espionage.
Yeah,
I could never quite understand what that was or why he got indicted. But 21st Century Wire, they explain it somewhat, and let's go into that. While the world focused on Washington's pursuit of NSA whistleblower Ed Snowden, another much more high-ranking member of the U.S. power structure has been indicted for espionage this week. U.S. General James Cartwright was regarded by Washington insiders as Obama's general, and now he's facing prosecution for blowing the whistle on Operation Olympic Games, which planted the Sputniks and Flame viruses in Iranians' nuclear facilities in order to derail Iran's civilian nuclear program. At closer examination, it appears that Cartwright's revelation didn't so much harm U.S. interests per se, but they hindered Israel's ambition toward a war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So, but why espionage? What is the line between whistleblowing and espionage in America today? Voltaire Net says, while the international press plays up the information leaked by Edward Snowden as a revelation concerning PRISM, the surveillance program, feigning to have discovered what everyone should already have known for a long time, Thierry Meissen is particularly curious about the meaning of this rebellion. From his perspective, he attaches more importance to the case of General Cartwright, who has also been indicted for espionage.
They don't say much about that on the media.
No, not at all. But it's kind of important.
I think he's a whistleblower as well.
Answer to this question. All right. American public servants, civilian or military, who face a minimum of 30 years in prison for revealing U.S. state secrets to the press, whistleblowers, exercising power to the democratic system, or are they resistors to oppression at the hands of a military police dictatorship? The answer to this question does not depend on our own political opinions, but on the nature of the U.S. government. The answer completely changed if we focus on the case of Bradley Manning, the young leftist WikiLeaks soldier, or if we consider that of General Cartwright, military advisor to President Obama, indicted Thursday, June 27th, for spying. Here a look back is needed to understand how one shifts from espionage in favor of a foreign power to disloyalty to a criminal organization that employs you. Worse than censorship, the criminalization of sources. This goes on. This is quite lengthy, but it's worth the read. And if you go to it, because I think we're out of time. We're up about an hour for 5 minutes. So let me point you to this website. It's 21st Century Wire. Okay, go to that, and you'll see it. Beyond Snowden, U.S. General Cartwright has been indicted for espionage. Right? It's a fascinating article, but it describes how people are worried. These guys that invented these things understand now what they're doing and what's happening, and we've become so technically oppressive, mm-hmm. all right, not only to our own people but around the world, that that these guys are coming out and saying, hey, we're violating all our laws, we're violating our constitution, we're violating everybody's privacy around the world, it's not getting us anywhere. Okay, we're not really saving the world from it. All we're doing is collecting and becoming a dictatorship,
mm-hmm.
Controlling the whole world. And that's exactly what the New World Order is about, okay?
And people are catching on, and as they catch on, they're persecuting them.
And these patriots, the patriots like this guy who invented it to attack enemies, is suddenly realizing it's attacking us, it's taking over us,
mm-hmm.
and he's saying, screw this.
And also planting false evidence in different places,
That's right. And he's seeing what kind of a traitor
Obama
really is, and the people around him,
mm-hmm.
okay? And realizing that,
the place is filled with Zionists.
It's not only Zionists, but corporate fascists, sympathizers, fascists, and Zionists, and all kinds of criminal elements. And, that's what's leading this country, and unfortunately, through Obama, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who's got all the bastards in his cabinet,
That's right.
So it's like, we have to get rid of Obama, we have to get rid of the Congress, we have to get rid, just clean house.
But just think about the three whistleblowers. This guy, Snowden, he got away.
And Bradley Manning.
And that poor guy, he was crucified.
Yeah.
And the WikiLeaks guy, he's
still in an embassy. In
the, well, he's a lot luckier than the Manning guy.
But to make a long story short, what's happening is not pretty, folks.
Uh-uh.
And hopefully, God willing, the people are waking up, and this may wind up into a revolution. And
you just don't know.
It's just the saddest part about it is they know it. And we know it, but they're getting armed for it, and they're getting ready for it. And we're kind of just sitting back going, it's got to happen, and then, we'll get the bullet in the head. So, I don't know what to tell you.
All right, folks, it's the end of our show. It's the end of our show, so take care. Have a good rest of your night,
yep.
And see you tomorrow.
Good night, everybody.